In the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Friends, do you think the Sacred Heart of our Lord and the Immaculate Heart of Mary beat in unison during the whole pregnancy? Perhaps. Is there something to ponder this Mass in which we so beautifully honor God's gift of infinite love for us? Personally, I like to imagine that the first act of devotion to the Sacred Heart of our Lord Jesus Christ occurred at the very first liturgy of our celebrating, right? The Last Supper, the Holy Thursday night. I wonder if St. John, the beloved disciple, upon asking the Lord who would betray him, leaned his head against Jesus' chest and had to listen to the beat of the heart which so loved the world that he would believe for us. Was the divine heartbeat slow and steady? Was it restful, offering the Eucharist to his disciples? Was it perhaps quickly beating, anxious, the agony in the garden and the apprehension? Did St. John recall this moment when he watched blood and water pour out from that same heart to the cross the following afternoon? After all, today's Gospel gives moving detail of the crucifixion exposed for us, the heart of the Savior. The beginnings of a devotion toward the love of God is symbolized by the heart of Jesus are found in the fathers of the Church, example, Origen, Ambrose, Jerome, Augustine, Hippolytus, Irenaeus, Justin, Cyprian, all who appealed to the passages in the Gospel of John that speak of living water flowing from Christ. Now, I love the Mass settings of the Sacred Heart. See, the texts of these prayers are so rich and are the result of centuries of development of the Roman Missal up until and beyond the Council of Trent. See, on May 8, 1928, Pope Pius XI issued his encyclical Miserentissimus Revenge, calling for the act of reparation of the Sacred Heart and the Congregation of Rites, issued this new Mass, which we say tonight, called Cogitazione, and the special office that goes with it was given to us on January 29, 1929. So it was then that Pius XI raised this feast to a double of the first class. Right? So it's the highest rank, and was also granted an octave at the time. So there was provided a special preface then for the Mass of the Sacred Heart as well. The fact that the feast was later set within the octave of Corpus Christi, due to the influence of the visions of St. Margaret Mary Ellador and the 1856 decision of Pope Pius IX. See, it makes an important theological statement that the feast we celebrate this evening has a connection to the Eucharist. So now, while earlier Mass formularies focused primarily on the passion of Christ and the benefits that love, this 1929 Mass and office emphasizes the love of the Sacred Heart for sinful humanity, as particularly revealed when the Sacred Heart was wounded by the soldier's lance. This is emblematic of the infinite treasures of love bestowed upon us in the wounded heart of Christ, and we pray that our devotion may make reparation for our sins. But the epistle is beautifully rich in focusing on the importance of growing in that love of Christ and seeing the source of this love within the self-giving love of Christ as he gave himself on the cross. However, while this Mass highlights the love of the Sacred Heart, it also places strong emphasis on reparation, atonement. And as we hear the moving phrase in the preface designed for this Mass, a safe refuge for the penitent. So it's right that we repent for our sins and the sins of the world, which wound and offend pure heart of Jesus. Then let us do as the beloved disciple instructs us. Now look upon him whom we have pierced.